Good morning, Rileyville Baptist Church. My name is Colby Garman. I pastor Pillar Church of Dumfries, just north of Marine Corps Base Quantico, where we launched the Praetorian Project in 2011 as an effort to plant gospel-centered churches in military communities and network those churches together so that we could do long-term discipleship of highly transient people and create a wave of church planting that would carry the gospel to our nation's military service members. And we are grateful for the partnership that you guys have shown in that work over the past year. I want to thank your pastors for the opportunity to be with you this morning, and not only to help you understand more about what the Praetorian Project is all about, but to break open God's word and let God draw us into worship and to celebrate his victory in Christ. So in a moment, I'm going to read a couple of short verses from Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And so you can begin to turn there and we will read it together before I lead us in a word of prayer and we dig into that and see what God has for us together this morning. Now, while you're doing that, while you're turning to Philippians 1, 12 through 14, I just want to take a moment and say to you what I trust you already know, which is that, God has given you an incredible gift in sending Pastor Dan and his family to your church. I've really loved the opportunity to get to know him over the past few years as we've served together with the SBC of Virginia, and just found him to be such a man of sincere faith and real desire to see the church there fulfill its calling as a global mission, but also to reach the community. And you guys are just so privileged to have him. So if you haven't done so lately, I just want to ask you to take some time this week to encourage him and to pray for him and his family and your other staff there at Rileyville Baptist Church. Hopefully you got your Bibles open to Philippians chapter 1, 12 through 14. It says this, Paul speaking says in verse 12, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard," that could read from the Greek Praetorian guard, "and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Lord, we pray that you would cause us to experience that as well, that you would help us to see that it's your desire to leverage the circumstances of our lives. You've designed the circumstances of our life to exalt Christ and to cause us to have a place from which we would boldly speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you help us today as we study your word, not just to think about it, but Lord, would you speak to us? Would you cause us individually and as a people to grow in eagerness and desire to see all of our circumstances as the way in which you continue your mission? And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the spring of 2010, our family of four at the time was living in Reykjavik, Iceland, where I served as a church planting catalyst in a partnership with the IMB and our church. We had just completed 16 months of nearly full-time language learning, and I just preached my first sermon in Icelandic. We expected we'd be there for a long time doing what we believed God had called us to do. And all of that changed nearly in a moment at the 20-week ultrasound of our third daughter, Gracie. My wife was pregnant, and there in the little hospital in Reykjavik, we found out that the daughter that she was carrying had a malformation in her heart that would result in being born with half of a heart. I thought at the time it was a death sentence, but that sent us on a journey that resulted in returning to the U.S. permanently, going through three open heart surgeries with our now almost 10-year-old daughter, Gracie, and landing back at Pillar as the teaching pastor in the summer of 2011. In the summer of 2011, as I remember it, Clint Clifton preached a sermon on a Sunday when I was presented to the church for this work. And he preached from this passage, and he said something like this. He said, sometimes God sends us for the spread of the gospel, and sometimes God chains us for the spread of the gospel. And as he said that, I sensed the Spirit of God saying to me, and that is exactly what I'm doing with you. That month, we announced the Praetorian Project vision to our church of, at the time, about 60 people. And in many ways, this journey of the Praetorian Project began during that season. Our limiting circumstances, we found, were being leveraged for God's limitless mission. In this passage, the Apostle Paul mentions his own circumstances. Certainly, he is talking about the fact that here he is writing from an imprisonment. He's writing to the church at Philippi as a whole to encourage them about his situation. They've sent things to him to help him and to strengthen him. And now he's telling them what's going on and what he is seeing about what God is doing. But I think he has more in mind here when he mentions his circumstances than just the fact that he's in prison. I think he's including the whole wild set of events that led up to this imprisonment. We know from Romans that he longed to get to Rome and encourage the church, but I don't think that he figured it would happen in this way. And so we see that as the Apostle Paul describes his circumstances, I think they include a bunch of other things. He was arrested in Jerusalem. He was under the conspiracy of assassination, left wrongly in Caesarea. Acts chapter chapters 22 through 28 show us all of these events. Left wrongly, unjustly in Caesarea for nearly 2 years with nobody doing anything about his case. He had to appeal to Caesar for a fair trial. And even then, the king said that if he hadn't appealed to Caesar, he was going to let him go. But that required him to be sent to Rome. And on his way to Rome, he was shipwrecked at sea. And finally, making it to Rome, he's left to sit in prison while the government just leaves him there, facing government bureaucracy, waiting for his opportunity. And after a while, he saw something in that moment. And those around him saw it as well. He saw that these circumstances were not by accident. They were God's sovereign purpose. And they were circumstances that were being used for Christ. And he leveraged the limiting circumstances for the limitless mission that God had called him to do. Well, the story of the Praetorian Project is a story about a church with some circumstances. You know, if I were to just introduce you to the Praetorian Project, and I know you know some about it already, but I just want to zoom out and help you understand it. Pillar Church had its own set of circumstances. We were a small church meeting in a school. And as we leaned into the military community around Marine Corps Base Quantico, we saw two challenges. One, our church was developing slower than anyone really had hoped. You know, every church planter does this. They desire to see the church grow quickly. And the church was developing slower than that, but partly in due to the fact that we were in the midst of reaching a really transient population that would turn over. Every year, it seemed, a third of the church headed out to a new place. But that was not only challenging for us in terms of growth and development, but also it was challenging for the new believers and the people that we were discipling them to get rooted into a church and have their lives uprooted. And so many of our military families experience this, and the average civilian doesn't get to see it, how just the cycle of being uprooted affects the lives of our military service members and their families. And, you know, so these families would make a deep connection with us, and they would struggle at times to get plugged in at their next place and get connected to a strong gospel family. And the circumstances seemed frustrating until we realized that they were God-ordained. They seemed like frustrating circumstances until we started asking ourselves, what if God gave us these circumstances for the spread of the gospel rather than for the growth of our church? What if the numerical growth of our church wasn't exactly what God was after, but the spread of the gospel in the grand scheme of God's mission of the kingdom of God was? And the Praetorian Project was born to leverage these circumstances of continuous movement for the spread of the gospel through church planting. It was a simple strategy. It was built on this. If we can develop church planters and put them in the places our people are always heading to, then we can continue discipling people on the move and utilize them as they move from place to place in the mission. And to the glory of God, it's been amazing. We've seen the work grow from one church in Dumfries with a dream to seven churches spread literally throughout the world since the time that we began. So circumstances matter. They change things. They impact things, but they're also from God. So to help us all leverage our limiting circumstances for God's limitless mission, let's consider three specific things that this passage teaches us that will prepare us to see God's hand in our circumstances. And as we do, I'm going to help you see what God has been doing through the Praetorian Project. So first, we see here in this passage that God constrains, that the constraints that God gives us are for the sake of continuing the mission. Let me say that again. God's constraints continue the mission. They don't stall it out. They don't stop it. They continue it. In the text, if you'll look there with me in verse 12, Paul makes his view of the situation clear. He says, what has happened to him has served to advance the gospel. He's seen that these circumstances serve that purpose in such a way that throughout the whole Praetorian Guard, now it may say Imperial Guard in the Bible that you have in front of you, but the Greek word there is Praetorian. And so throughout this whole Praetorian Guard that has been watching him, it has become also known, not just to Paul, but to them, that his imprisonment is for Christ. So what's happening here? What's happening here? Paul is imprisoned in such a way that the guards, who are part of this elite guard force that protects the emperor and his concerns, that protects the interests of the emperor, they're exposed to him day after day after day in his situation, and he's sharing the gospel. Day after day in shifts, many of them are coming under the influence of the gospel message and turning to Christ and seeing that this imprisonment in Paul was for the sake of Christ being born in them. Now, who are these guardsmen and why is that significant for the continuing of the mission of the gospel? Now, who are these guardsmen? They're not just everyday military members. Here is what the UNRV History of the Roman Empire describes about the Praetorian Guard. From that article on the Praetorian Guard, it says this. Service as a Praetorian Guardsman not only offered elite status, but in many respects offered considerable benefits to that of the standard legionary in the Roman military. The term of service for the Praetorian Guard was 16 years, as opposed to 20 or 25 in the legion. The opportunity for promotion was also excellent, as many Praetorians went on to serve as centurions and other officers in the regular standing army. And their pay conditions, too, offered a considerable advantage. It goes on to say that Praetorians received pay and a half to that of the legions. Praetorians made 1,500 denarii per year, making them rich in comparison to many of the average citizens in the Roman Empire. And then, upon retirement, this article tells us that the Praetorian also received an extra 5,000 denarii and a land settlement as well as a military diploma. So they had recognition and status and a license to go into the Roman Empire and settle on a piece of public land, have it for their own, anywhere they wanted to go. Now, don't miss it. Paul is guarded by a group of people that are going to retire early, choose land all around the Roman Empire, and have the provision to focus on what matters to them. Don't miss it. God is constraining the messenger here. Paul has been constrained. He's constraining the messenger to a place where the message will be caused to spread without him going anywhere because the movement is already built in to what's happening in society around him. So this is what we recognized. that if God did that with him, he could also be doing it with us. We began to leverage the constraint of being in a place where people were always on the move in a military community for the sake of the gospel. And so, for example, in 2011, Brian O'Day had been a member of our church who God had put a calling on, a clear calling to church planting, and he began to discover that and express that. Now, he had just finished the Marine Corps training, and he still owed the Marine Corps some time and got orders at that point to move to Camp Lejeune in Jacksonville, North Carolina, one of the places that we wanted to plant for the Praetorian Project. So we helped him prepare to plant a church there when his assignment would finish up with the Marine Corps, and use the overlapping time until that happened to get himself ready to lay the groundwork, and they moved him down there. And when he was done, when he had finished his military assignment, he planted Pillar Church of Jacksonville in 2013, a thriving church that has gone on to plant additional churches in our project. Now, all of that illustrates my first point, that God constrains our ministries. God constrains the circumstances of our life. At times, he constrains the messenger itself, like we see here with Paul, to continue the mission. Because it's strategic for continuing the mission in unique ways. So we see that here. But it also illustrates the second thing I want us to see. It illustrates the fact that God constrains us to compel the masses. God constrains us. He puts limitations on ministries and on people as a way of glorifying himself before the eyes of other people and compelling them to participate in his mission. Now, we see this in the text, that God constrains us to compel the masses, as we see it worked out in Paul's life. The result of Paul's constraints were not just that Paul's work in the ministry multiplied through the Praetorian Guard, but also that other believers were becoming, he says, more bold to preach the gospel. Look at verse 14. He says, "Most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." We all fear circumstances at times. But when we see someone like Paul get in the middle of those circumstances and see the hand of God and how God uses those circumstances in unique ways to compel and complete his mission, it gives us courage that God can't be overcome by the circumstances of our lives. Not only can he take care of us, but he can use us in the midst of the greatest challenges that we face. I think we're learning that to some degree in the midst of this season of our life as churches, as we face the pandemic and we go through the challenges of the stay-at-home order. We see that God can teach us and reinforce us, that we can endure through trials, that our churches can be sustained, that God's mission continues and it never really stops because things have shifted. It's a simple idea. God has designed Paul's circumstances to cause ordinary people connected around him to speak the gospel with boldness. What a great strategy. Ordinary people speaking the gospel with boldness because of Paul's circumstances. Now, the Praetorian Project is built on this very simple principle. What are we up to? We're up to mobilizing the masses of people that often don't see themselves as included in the ministry and mission of God. That's what we want to do. The greatest way that we as pastors and as leaders, the greatest way that your pastors can accomplish the work of God's kingdom and not the work of our own kingdom is to focus on equipping everyday members to proclaim the gospel with boldness and to live sent into their communities on mission, to live their lives on mission, to let God call them wherever he would call them to, and to support them and send them, no matter what that means for our local ministry or our individual lives. The movement of the gospel into places that we can't reach, places your church can't reach, places my church can't reach, places you can't go as an individual, that movement of the gospel happens through equipping others to go into places they alone can go. You see, the mission of Christ is a mission for the whole church, for every member. No matter how long you've been a Christian, God has a role for you to play. And your circumstances, your relationships, your situation is unique for the glory of God. You may see it as constraints. You may see it as trials. You may see it as limitations, but limitations are powerful things. They transform the way that we see the world, and they begin to open up to us ways that God wants to use us uniquely. You see, we want everyday members equipped to go where we can't go, both here locally and around the world. In our context, that means equipping everyday members of our church to do the ministry on every level, all the way up to pastoral leadership. To see that Marine that walks in the door as a potential pastor, as a potential church planting member, a team member, and just to trust that God will use them powerfully for his kingdom if we invest in them, even if they never get to reinvest in our specific church. We're preparing the leaders for the next church plant. Let me give you an example of this to personalize it a little bit. There's this great couple, Orion and Danielle Lopes. Orion and Danielle, when I met the Lopes in 2015, they were fairly young in their faith. They'd been Christians for a little while, but they were a young couple with one child, and they're growing in their faith, but young in terms of ministry and engagement in the mission of Christ. Our church invested in their discipleship, and they in turn just served our churches in powerful ways. Orion led our setup team, and Danielle just did tons of things to serve our church for a little more than 2 years in just really great ways. Then, when Pillar 29 Palms was starting, so back, we planted a church in 29 Palms, California, outside the Marine Corps base there. And in 2017, Roy Garza left to move to 29 Palms with a small team of people. And when that church was starting, Orion got orders to 29 Palms. They began to plug in and help the Garzas there, and other families even were mobilized to do that. And Orion served there. He continued to grow, take on more responsibilities and discipleship and leadership in the church. The same was true for Danielle. Then about 18 months ago, after that church had begun to get established, he got orders again to DC. And at that time, we were right in the middle of preparing to reinvigorate our work at Pillar DC in Southeast Washington, DC. And so we were ready to reinvigorate that work, but we needed leaders. We needed people who could really invest. And they got orders to Washington, DC right at that same time. And Orion has served as one of our elders and pastoral leaders there while continuing his work in the military. He's been a key elder and leader, and Danielle has led our women's ministry and all kinds of stuff there to help that church get rooted and begin to thrive. Week in, week out, this active duty Marine is sharing the gospel in DC, meeting with guys for discipleship, shaping the life of that church alongside our church planner, Jared Huntley. We want to allow our confidence and faith in the Lord, in our circumstances, to inspire everyday people like Orion and Danielle to live their lives with gospel purpose and boldness. And so they believe that God ordains and orders for ministry and for his mission the places that they end up as a military couple. But that only comes as we embrace the fact that God wants to use our constraints to compel and carry on the mission, to compel others to carry out that mission. So let me just talk to you as a church for a moment. What are your unique constraints? How might these constraints that you have be leading you to focus on equipping everyday people rather than organizing ministry around one person or just one central location forever? God is less concerned. Listen, God is less concerned about the influence of one pastor than the multiplication of disciples. God is less concerned about the size of one church than he is about the multiplication of churches in every unreached and underserved place. That's what God's about. And if you will embrace whatever constraints God may put on your life, he will show you how he intends to use it to compel others to join his mission. He'll mobilize other people through your life as they are inspired with confidence as you embrace the circumstances he's placed you in. Here's the amazing thing. In 2011, we had one church with four pastoral leaders, one of whom was an active duty or retired military. Right now, today, in 2020, we're now seven churches with 32 pastoral leaders, the majority of which are active duty or military, or retired military. We want every member of our church to believe that God has called them and equipped them for the mission. Which leads me to the last thing that this text shows us that we have learned in our experience at Pillar. It's that God constrains us. He limits us to correct our methods. God constrains us to correct our methods. I could have said to correct our mindset, but I want us to see how when our mindset shifts, our methods shift as well. In the text, Paul is writing to the Philippians because they are his gospel partners. They've joined him in his work. Similar to the way churches band together, the way you've partnered with the Praetorian Project. They're his partners. He's speaking to them about what he's learning on the leading edge of this work. And he wants to make sure that their gospel partnership allows the Philippians to benefit from the vision of what God is doing. It's the same reason that I desire to speak to you today and bring these things to your attention, because this isn't a story about what's amazing about what God has done at Pillar Church of Dumfries. It's the story of what God does over and over again through churches like ours and through churches like yours. And I desire that you would find the ways in which God is not only causing you to partner with churches like us, but compelling you with the mission in your unique circumstances that he has called you to. He wants us to have the right mindset, and he wants us to say with Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain, that we would correct our mindset. When we see what Paul sees here, it will shift our mindset and affect our methods. We'll go from being a church that wants to preserve itself to one that pours itself out for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. You see, the Philippians are writing to Paul for one reason, primarily to see how he is doing. Paul writes back to them to celebrate what God was doing, not just for his self-preservation. He's not concerned about his personal health. He wants them to hear how his circumstances have served to complete the mission. He wants them to hear how his circumstances are for Christ, that the gospel is advancing through his suffering. Listen, when we see that, it will lead us to ask the question, how do we spread the gospel? That's the question we need to ask. How do we spread the gospel, not how do we preserve ourselves? This leads to vastly different methods. When we stop asking, how do I keep myself, my well-being level high and gain more comfort and security? And we start asking the question, God, how can you use me, leverage my life and circumstances for the spread of the gospel? Things begin to change in our lives. When churches stop being primarily concerned about preserving themselves and first and foremost concerned about spreading the gospel and multiplying the mission through the disciples that they're making, they do things differently. It leads to vastly different methods. That is what we're after in the Praetorian Project, a steadfast focus on multiplying everyday people, raising regular people up to be leaders in the life and mission of the church. And so we want everyday people to become missional leaders. At the beginning, we believed God was calling us to put four churches in four strategic locations. We found out way back in 2010 that 80% of the Marine Corps lived in four regions. And you probably have seen this video, and we thought that's what God wants us to do. Four churches. We're going to have to spend the next 20 years seeing those planted. But as we sit here today, we're seven churches. We've reached that goal, and we've begun to ask the question, what is he really positioning us for? We see that he's positioning us for a global mission and calling together partners like you to help us continue that work. It's our desire to put gospel preaching, multiplying churches in every military community in the world, and not just for the sake of those military communities being reached, but for the overflow of how God can use those military believers to reach people all over the world for the sake of Christ. For example, one of our church plants, Pillar Church of Okinawa, right now is in the midst, even though they're a church that's probably 3 or 4 years old, they're in the midst of a several years project to plant Japanese-speaking churches with Okinawan pastors. The project is called Gospel to Okinawa, and they're training local Japanese pastors and Christians to begin to plant new churches and multiply. And so they hope to plant 2 churches over the next couple of years, and you can partner with them. We can partner with them as we see their church strengthen and that work go on. But they're uniquely positioned now to reach Japanese people in places you and I could never touch. Let me tell you about a couple of other things happening. In the fall, the Praetorian Project, we look forward to launching Pillar Church of San Diego. It'll be our 3rd church in Southern California, and that church will be aimed at reaching Navy sailors in San Diego and Marines at the Miramar Air Station. And this team of planters is being sent out from Pillar Church of Oceanside. Pillar Church of Oceanside is probably about 100 people large, and some great leaders there. They continue to grow and disciple people. They're sending out one of their best leaders and several of their members to go start Pillar Church of San Diego about 45 to 50 minutes south of where they're currently located. And that church will technically be a great-grandchild church of the one that I pastor. It's really exciting to see this work developing, and we look forward to launching Pillar Church of San Diego, and your partnership makes that kind of thing possible. Also, later in the year, we believe that we will be able to launch Pillar Church of Stafford right here from our church in Dumfries. It's an amazing story. I wish I could tell you all the details, but recently another church in Stafford that was struggling decided to dissolve, and in the process of dissolving, they connected with us and decided to give us their facility, and for the members that have been a part of that church to join us at Pillar and begin to prepare for a future church plant in Stafford with the Praetorian Project. They wanted to see this moment as their church was coming to a close give a sense of rebirth to the mission. And we are so excited, and they are excited about what now we're seeing that God is preparing to do. And so as we have been navigating the COVID-19 pandemic, we've also brought on the responsibility, the added financial responsibility of a church planting resident, a church planter who we're training and preparing this year to be full-time with us in pastoral work, preparing for that future church plant to be plugged in and carry on the work in Stafford. So we've taken this step of faith, and partnerships like yours make it possible for us to step out with confidence and continue to trust God as we pursue a mission like this, even at a time when some of our partner organizations have recognized that it can be difficult and challenging. Some of the funding that often has been available isn't available right now. We just believe that God is calling us to this, and God will provide for God's mission. Imagine for a second what it might look like for your church to partner even more specifically with that church, Pillar Church of Stafford, and our church as we do that. It's not that far away, maybe an hour and a half from where you're at right now. You could help us run outreach efforts like a sports camp in the late summer if things open up, or even the following summer as things become available. You could reinforce outreach events with us in the early days of church life when there are not many volunteers in a new church plant. You could send a team later in the summer on a day trip to help us with facility improvements to get ready for our launch later on in the year. You could pray that God would even allow you to send some people who would move from Rileyville over to Stafford to help support that church, to be a vital part of that work. You could adopt that church planter and pray for him on a regular basis. You could give financially to support his work and make sure that he is well-funded even in this time. You know, our current goal, ultimately, is to see that church planted and established in the next year. There's some great things going on. We continue to grow. We hope by this time next year to be 9 churches in these communities. And every time we plant a church, we create a new disciple-making factory that really helps tie in to the mission of the gospel spreading throughout the globe. And our unique place is to do that from military communities. Ultimately, our big picture goal over the next several years is to plant multiplying churches in the 5 most populated regions in the U.S. We've already started in Washington, D.C., most populated military regions in the U.S. There's 5 of them. We're in Washington, D.C. and Southern California. We're praying for God to call church planters. We'd ask you to pray with us that would start churches in San Antonio, in Seattle, Washington, in the Tidewater area of Virginia, so that we can plant those churches and mobilize believers from there to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. Listen, brothers and sisters, I just believe that this is true, not just for us, but for you. I believe that we have nothing to lose in any of this, in giving ourselves to this. We have nothing to lose but participation in the mission of Christ's kingdom. We want to say with Paul, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. As individuals, we want the mindset of our life not to be first and foremost focused on our well-being, but first and foremost trusting the power of Christ to use any and all circumstances to advance his kingdom. That's true for the circumstances of your life right now. God can redeem them, whatever they are, for his glory and your good. That is true for the church you're a part of. God has uniquely positioned you in his kingdom for a reason. Now, what would cause us to have this kind of confidence? The answer is not just Paul's example, but Christ's cross. You see, this is the central hope. This is the central hope of the gospel being worked out in Paul's ministry here and being worked out in our lives. What is that hope? That Christ was constrained to a cross. And those circumstances that look like weakness and defeat are the very power that gives sinners like us hope and victory. Christ accomplished it. It was because Christ was nailed to the cross that our sins could be forgiven and our lives redeemed from our own selfish pursuits to be focused on the glory of God. It was because Jesus saw the joy of you being saved and forgiven and rescued that he endured the shame of being shackled to that tree. That's why he went to the cross. He faced the punishment that we deserved in those circumstances so that we can be confident that God is with us in every one of ours for our good and his glory. And today, your first step, maybe your first step in the journey may be that you need to finally surrender yourself to Christ and turn from your sin and put your faith in the Jesus who overcame through the cross, where weakness turned to power for us. You can be made alive spiritually today as you call upon the Lord because of what Jesus did on the cross. The Holy Spirit will come into your life and bring you into his life-saving work and his changing power as he takes up residence in you. If you call on Jesus today for salvation, you won't just get the affirmation and confidence that one day you'll be with Christ in eternity. He will come into your life and transform everything, even now. Transform the way you see those circumstances in your life. Church, listen. Listen. Christ faced our most terrible moment on the cross. He stood in our place when he shed his blood. Church, let us continue to glory in Christ. Let us continue to see our circumstances as designed for God's compelling mission. And let us say with Paul, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.